Good morning. Today is Tuesday, the 3rd of May. Joining us this morning, noted world traveler Bill McCauley. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning, Brian.
You are in an English-speaking area today.
I am. Well, yes. It doesn't mean that I can enunciate.
Yeah. or point to it on the map.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, all right. Are you ready for... Oh, this will be interesting. Well,
Let me get ahead of you. I don't know. Go ahead.
All right. Babel.
Babel.
Why do we say Babel?
Well, the Tower of
Grandpa
Babel.
Bill.
The Tower of Babel.
Yeah.
Was where language was, according to the biblical story, the tower was built to get closer to God because God confused the language of those in the area because they were doing too well. So it was too easy.
Yeah, I know. I set it up. So you were wrong initially, and then you get more than half credit on the subsequent response.
Oh, thank you. More than half credit. That's
yeah. Probably should have used ballyhoo instead.
Ballyhoo. Yeah. That one would have gotten me, yeah.
Our term for confused noise in which individual sounds are difficult or impossible to distinguish came to us from the Middle East. Babylon, believed by some scholars to have been located in present-day Iraq, was known to ancient Hebrews as Babel. It was there, according to the Bible, that the people tried to build a tower to heaven so that their ruler could converse with God on his level. As punishment, Jehovah caused all the citizens to speak several languages rather than one. The story of... That's far more concise than your presentation.
Well, they had time to think about it.
Okay, fair. Is that... Yeah, and no typos either.
Nice.
Yeah. The story of the city whose citizens suddenly found themselves shouting didn't foster communications was preserved in Scripture. Persons who learned it came to use the city's name as a label for any chaotic uproar, such as a hubbub or hullabaloo.
Hullabaloo.
Not to be confused with Yogi Bear or Boo Boo.
Yeah, yes. Yogi. I used to love your dad when he was Rotary president, when he did the Yogi.
Oh, the Yogi Bear, yeah.
Every week.
That now I'm buying his baseball cards. Not quite so humorous to me. How much for who? But I think one of my goals next January, we have a sales gathering in St. Louis, is to go to the neighborhood where Garagiola and Vera grew up together.
Really?
Yeah, they were like down the block, literally down the block from one another. Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah, it's probably a parking lot or something. Oh.
Yeah.
We are hearing an awful lot of attention about, just moments ago in the news, about audits. I know you have done audits in the past for special districts. Mm-hmm. Now, it may not have been yesterday, but I would suspect that the basic framework and concept hasn't changed that much. What is the concept of an audit?
So, we use the term in different venues. So, as an example, the IRS may audit a taxpayer. We know what that is, right? We just know we quake when we hear an IRS audit.
It starts with leaning against the wall, facing towards it, and it goes downhill from
there.
So,
we hear it in that context. So we hear it in the context of tax, the term audit. Or examination, and that's I'm going to set that piece aside because that's really I don't think what you're asking. Then we also have a concept of audit that is used as basically in a test function by a third party to examine generally the financial records. We talk in the context of, although other things could be audited in other forms, you know, you could have an inventory of cattle that was audited, so to speak. But the whole point is it's in a test function to say, and in accounting, I'm no longer an auditor, but I did for my early part of my career. Matter of fact, I've audited governments and different things in the area. Some of the bigger ones at the time when we were doing some of the work. And so what that function is to attest to the accuracy and to the compliance with a set of standards of the financial statements that are being presented. So as an example, if you have financial statements for a business, generally they're presented in the in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles, and we call that GAAP because everybody has to have acronyms, right? You can't just, you know, I mean, it gets kind of tired, generally accepted accounting principles over and over, so we condense those.
Well, GAAP management sounds kind of fun.
Yeah, well, that would be probably a different GAAP, but yeah, that's a whole nother matter. So the point is that when an auditor goes in, their job is to follow established standards and perform an audit in accordance with the relevant standards. So if you're talking about a special district, then you're looking at governmental auditing standards. And
are those different then?
Yes. Yeah.
Because they're looking for different areas, or they have different types of audits.
You know, keep in mind with a government, things are, first of all, the accounting's a little different. You know, the accounting systems are different, and I don't think anybody who's listening wants to hear about the differences between regular, you know, what we consider commercial accounting and government accounting, but there are some subtle differences because governments do different things. Keep in mind that for a government, you know, it doesn't have stockholders. It doesn't have, you know, the equity is really owned by all of us in a government. Whereas if you have a private company, the equity is condensed in a small group of owners, or a public company, it might be across a broad group of owners. But the purpose of the audit is to say, you can all rely on these financial statements as accurate and in compliance with the relevant standards. So for governmental entities, they've got standards that apply to those. There's also another piece that goes along with that, which is, you know, there's grant revenue, and that can also require, the grants can come with audit requirements that are
specific or unique to the grantor.
The grantor will impose, in certain cases, in most cases, there'll be some audit requirements that come along with it, and so then whoever's conducting that audit needs to understand what the particular program requirements are in order to conduct the audit over the various programs.
Different languages and different definitions of the terms, or are they just different terms that are used?
I'm not sure I'm following your question. So,
well, good. We'll reflect and return.
Okay.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with CPA Bill McCauley. Bill, before the break, we were talking a little bit about some of the terminology and the jargons, and that with a government audit as contrasted to, let's say, an IRS audit, that there are different emphasis areas.
Yeah, an IRS audit's totally different because there's no, you know, that's a completely separate animal. So let's throw that one out for this discussion. But there is a difference between
government.
A commercial business type, an audit of that type of an organization, and government. There are very different standards that apply because the terminology is different.
And that's what we were getting to is it the definitions of the words that are used, or is there just different terminology?
There's different terminology. Definitionally, it's not an issue. It's really comes down to a question of that there's additional terminology. There's additional requirements in effect when you do a governmental audit, especially of an organization that receives grants or money from third parties, such as the U.S. government or even pass through money from the U.S. government through the state or just state funds. All those come with strings, and what that means is instead of just having a conventional financial statement audit like you would do for a commercial entity, you also have all this programmatic auditing that has to occur, which often you'll hear the term a single audit referred to. And a single audit, it comes from some federal standards which said establishes that when governmental revenues exceed a certain threshold, which I no longer remember what that threshold is because I'm out of it. But I think it's around $2 million. Once you go over $2 million of federal revenue, you are subject to the
their standards
to the Single Audit Act.
Yeah,
and the Single Audit Act means you end up having to look at a bunch of different compliance areas, including compliance with Davis-Bacon Act, and you know. Anyway, it becomes
another level of challenge.
Yeah, it's yes, and so the audit's more complicated, and. So, but, you know, I mean, most of the firms who were doing those audits, I mean, gosh, years ago, you know, when I first started in the 80s, you know, we were a local firm, and I was working for a local firm, and we were auditing College Redwoods and the county at that time. So, but now you don't see local firms performing those engagements, and probably at
arm's length concerns?
No, it really isn't. It's just the complexity has continued to spiral.
Oh, it's just magnified.
And so it's really difficult. You know, you almost have to be kind of specializing, at least have a specialty group who's doing that type of auditing. And you know, like for us, we don't do enough of it. Matter of fact, our firm's exiting the whole audit area because we just have decided that the costs associated with having to maintain an audit practice and in terms of education, peer review, maintaining, you know, balancing the available time we have to do the work versus what, and then doing enough work to really say it's worth the investment
of
this
time
and training and whatnot. So
there's a specialization or certification associated specifically with auditing, or it's an area of emphasis?
No, but keep in mind whichever firm does the CPA firm does these audits, they're getting peer reviewed, and they have, if they're doing single audit, if the peer reviewer is reviewing a firm that conducts audits of peer, you know, that are single audits, and then the scope of the peer review goes up. So, you know, there's all this escalation. So generally what you're going to find is, and I think I'm not aware of really any local firms who are doing large scale governmental auditing anymore,
just because of the complexity.
Right. I do think there's for, you know, we've been doing nonprofits, and occasionally we've done a few special districts in the last, you know, 10 or 12 years. But we've just gotten to the point where, you know, it just doesn't fit our business model, and so, you know, I have a clench over it, exiting auditing, because it's, you know, it's an important thing of what it's really the thing that. In many ways, distinguishes CPAs from others, because that's one thing that CPAs can only do is audit.
So that's one of the exclusive areas,
right? And okay. So to exit it, you know, there was a clench for me, but for us, it's going to be the best thing.
You're releasing on your clench. I can tell.
I'm only half clenched.
What is it, verklempt?
Yeah, I'm verklempt. Yeah. Yeah, Mike Myers.
you're getting there. Yeah. So when you hear about audits and audits being accepted or certified or not or rejected and all these things that we've been hearing about lately, what is your read on it?
Well, at the risk of offending people, I mean, I've never seen...
You're here on this show. You've already crossed that bridge.
I've never seen... You know, if we're talking about the county, I've just never seen this level of incapacity for having the county being audited. The audits have to occur timely, and there's consequence when you don't, and the county's going to start really feeling the consequences.
Constitutionally?
Or
pragmatically?
Both, but I mean, you know, from the standpoint that there's some really significant consequences that are coming down the road, and not only that, we're talking about the counties behind on, they're 3 years behind on one audit, or thereabouts. I'm not exactly sure of the specifics, so please forgive me if I've got details wrong. But they're way behind, and there's another one they're already delinquent on. So this is a big deal.
It's compounding,
big deal.
To use financial phrase. Right?
Correct.
Okay, it's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now,
live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep
forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:35. You know, today is a day you could almost understand people taking the day off.
Treso de Mayo?
No. Cruise ship in town.
Okay.
How do you beat the weather? It's supposed to be, what, low 60s? I mean, it's like, welcome to Humboldt County. Yes, of course we're like this all the time. spend your money and come back.
it'll be a beautiful day to have people in town. That's
for sure. Yeah, very cool. Even the national park might even be warm. Maybe.
Yeah. Well, it'd be cool. I mean, imagine the zoo's going to be really busy with Skywalk.
Yeah.
Which I haven't done yet. It's just so stupid. But anyway. But I've been all underneath that.
I've been all underneath that
for many, many years. I've been in those gullies. So.
Yes. I did one and done.
Did you?
A little vertigo in the last little bit, and it's like the bouncy bridges up high. It's like
no do like.
No, and of course I had to macho. I couldn't turn back and just go back the solid way. One and done.
Yeah, I like that kind of stuff. So I don't think that would bother me.
You enjoy bungee jumping too.
I haven't done that. I haven't done that.
They're right parallel for me.
Okay. Well, then.
So back to our topic du jour this morning. Yeah. Our audit's complicated. I mean, it's anything that speaks of numbers for a lot of us and little boxes that they go in automatically get our attention as something to avoid. Are audits necessarily complicated? Are they detailed? Are they 10 pounds, 2 pounds? I mean, what does an audit look like?
An audit is complicated and detailed. The way an audit is conducted, and this is, I'm going to try to do this relatively fast, but basically what happens is when someone's engaged to conduct an audit, one of the first things they do, I mean, first thing they need to do is understand the client. So you have to understand from the auditor's perspective. You do a lot of background work to get a good understanding of the client so if I'm doing an audit of a public or a private company, then I'd want to look at their bylaws and their articles of incorporation. I'd want to understand what are the rules, because those are things we have to be aware of. Are there violations of rules that they've imposed for themselves, saying this is how we do this? Then you consider policies and procedures and what those are, and then as you've begun to understand the nature of the client, you're also beginning the risk assessment process. And what that means is that the auditor is looking at the engagement based upon the information that they're garnering about that client and determining where are the risk areas from an audit perspective.
The accuracy of the information that's provided, is that part of that risk, or are you just, in general terms,
you're looking for areas where error is likely, possible, more likely, more possible than other areas where it's not.
Sometimes, missing receipts is an example.
You're considering the control environment. So what are the controls? So in other words, we understand the rules, we understand the client, we understand, then what is the control environment? What controls have been put in place to ensure, and sometimes the controls are actual, very physical controls that have been put in place, and sometimes they're perceived controls. It's like, and then there are other times, they're just, if you were doing an audit of a private business, and you know when you start developing your understanding of the client that the owner, it takes a very active role in bank deposits, Well, then you're not as worried that – you're more worried that he's going to deposit it in his own account, not have it go in the company account. So the risk is the existence. Do we have it? Did it really happen, or did it really – could it have slipped outside, as opposed to the risk being that somebody else is misappropriating it, you know, because...
Or like person, if it was a cash-based business?
And so you think it must... Yeah. So anyway, okay. the point is trying to understand the client, understand where the risks are, and then you focus your audit energy in these areas of risk. And that's what you do in a traditional financial accounting audit. So then you look at certain items and go, well, that's not material. You determine... There's a concept called materiality. And materiality, there's I could bore you to tears with, you know, methodologies for determining materiality, but suffice it to say the auditor is going to look and say, transactions under this dollar amount, we don't consider individually significant. You know, they're below the tolerable misstatement or in the aggregate, the materiality as a whole. So, you determine, hey, what would misstate these so that a user would then look at these financial statements and they'd be mistaken, and you determine that dollar amount. Then you go, well, what? That's fine, but I don't want a bunch of those errors. That would be the aggregate error that we could tolerate. And then you have to
parcel it back down.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that process occurs. And
now, are there industry standards for that, or?
Absolutely.
National figures that you can reference?
What we call professional standards. We don't consider ourselves an industry. We consider ourselves a profession. but there are professional standards for that, yes.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:41.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to seven cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right, you can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood, Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable, so book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Bill McCauley. So, Bill, in situation where an audit has to happen, what is a timeline on something like this? Is it a month-long process if you bring in somebody from the outside to do an audit rather than an interior? Is it weeks? Is it years? I mean, what is it?
I would say that in a normal arrangement, the audit is kind of a month's thing. Okay, so it's going to take 2 or 3 months usually. Start to finish, soup to nuts, probably. An initial audit, it might be a little longer because there's all that upfront gathering of information,
getting to know,
kind of alluded to.
Yeah.
Because you can't really conduct an audit of an organization you haven't developed an understanding of. It's a month thing.
Now are there industries that an audit is just an annual event and it just goes on year in and year out and it's a routine process and it just kind of
But there can be
occurs?
Hiccups and bumps, but this isn't
well, sure,
this
but,
isn't you know, if we're talking about the county, this isn't a hiccup and bump.
No, this is
a train wreck. But where you look at normally, yeah, most organizations have an annual audit. It gets, as an example, let's say the fiscal year end closes June 30th. Usually the auditors, sometimes they're in before year end to do some preliminary testing and work. And then a month or so later, after the books are closed, month or 2 months later, they're in there doing their real work, doing the field work and doing the various testing that they need to accomplish. And then there's going to be a period of wind-up where a lot of that occurs remotely at the office of whoever's doing the work. And, of course, more and more of the field work can actually be done remotely with technology the way it is. And then there's a wrap-up period where the audit, gets reviewed internally and make sure it's compliant with relevant standards. And then a draft comes out to the organization, and then they review it. And normally that's a month's thing. So as an example... June 30 often is done by November, December, in a governmental arrangement. But, we're a couple of years beyond that at this point. And the problem is now you're a couple of years, you're also 2 years behind the next one. And so it just becomes, so that's a snowball effect. And I'm sure, I don't know the details, but I'm sure the county's spending gobs of money trying to address this problem, which should be routine. And you know, I don't know all the details of what some of the problems are, but they should have been solved a long time. It, seemingly to me, should have been solved a long time ago.
So what do you see as the potential repercussions, having worked in this arena a little bit and just kind of being a little bit more knowledgeable than the average bear?
Well, for, you put the state in a position they don't want to be in. The state's now having to, in their oversight function, do things they don't want to have to do. So now you've got a... you've got an oversight agency who's grumpy, and all they really want to do is get the county back into compliance, you know, see the county back into compliance. But the downside is funding's going to get cut off if it hadn't already been. They're going to lose funding sources because you have to have the audit on file. It has to have been done and approved at the state level in order for certain funds to be made available. And that squeeze is going to hurt the county. I mean, this come on, let's be real. This is Humboldt County. We are not a wealthy county. I'm not sure there is one that exists, but we're not a wealthy county, and this is going to be, you know, we are going to lose resource. And I don't know that you can, in some cases you lose the grant. Well, that's that year's cycle. You lost that. That money's going to be gone, not just, oh, we have to wait another month. This is, you're going to lose that funding cycle, and you're going to have to work your way back into it for the next year. And we can't afford that here.
Well, and once you miss, how do you prove, how do you develop that confidence from that funding source that you're there?
It depends on the source. Some of them, as long as they've got the completed thing in the file, they're good. You know, so it just,
so it's a yes, no. Yeah. So there'll be some of those.
Yeah,
now, what about the impact in with bond ratings and things of that nature?
You know, there will be an impact. I can't really comment on it because I don't know enough to you know, anything I would say would be speculative. So,
okay, fair enough. So, with an audit that hasn't been done for a period of time, and your outside coming in, it takes still the same amount of time to come up to speed, but then you're on the hamster wheel for a prolonged or extended period of time. It almost sounds like something that no one would want to get associated with, unless that was their full-time area of expertise, and that's what their business entity did.
Yep, that's what you're likely to find. And right now, you know, the county's just going to be audited. If they can quickly get caught up with the internal information that makes them auditable. Keep in mind, if your records aren't complete, you know.
You're having to go backwards.
The auditor can't do anything. The auditor's going to sit and wait going, well, this has to be reconciled and tied out. We can't do the work for you. That means we'd be auditing our own work. So the county has to complete its side of things. In this case, we're talking about the county or the whoever's being audited. They have to have their records in a condition to be auditable. And it doesn't, based on what I've heard, it doesn't sound like the county's records have been entirely auditable, and that's part of the problem with the
delay. So this has a potential then to go back and impact all the various departments.
Correct.
3 or 4 years worth of stuff and simply resubmitting?
I don't know. It depends on how they
accumulate information. That would be best case scenario, I suspect.
Yeah. Well, they may, the information may be there and be ready. It may be just small pieces that need to be tied up to finish. I don't know.
So you're not volunteering for?
I am absolutely not. I don't want a phone call on this. I'm busy.
Yeah. I'm really not here. Yeah. All right. Well, everybody go outside, enjoy the sunshine. We'll see you tomorrow.